It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Love Fridays. It's a Friday. Here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a Buffalo Football Friday. It's brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Sal Capaccio here with you today on a Buffalo Football Friday where the Bills are on a two-game winning streak and look to extend it to three in Seattle at 4:05 p.m. I think it's kind of weird they're playing at 4:05 and not 4:25. I'm not complaining. You get back a little bit. You know, every minute matters when you're flying back from the West Coast late at night, right? Not complaining about it, but here's why I say that. Let me look at the map. I stand corrected here, but it's still, I guess, most of the country. I assumed that it would be going to most of the country because you have the number one Fox announcing team, Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady. But actually, now that I look at the map of which games are going where, obviously you'll get that here in Buffalo and throughout the Northeast, all the way over to Indy and Cincy, Louisville, down to Kentucky. Like, you're going to get it throughout the Midwest and then, of course, on the West. In fact, all the way down close to LA. San Francisco is going to get it, Seattle, of course. But maybe I would think a little bit, looks like actually all of Texas. So I think more of the country is going to get this game than any other game, but it's very close between that and Green Bay, Jacksonville. And that is Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma. Of course, we'll have the game here for you on WGR Sports Radio 550 and along the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. 4:05 p.m. start. But I thought that was kind of weird that they played at 4:05 because generally when you have a big, you know, doubleheader second start time to the whole country, it's the 4:25 games. The 4:25 games, we're going to get into the schedule later, are Carolina at Denver, Kansas City at the Raiders, Chiefs at Raiders, and the Bears at Commanders. Those are all your 4:25 games. Oh, and then there's another 4:05 game, Saints Chargers. So where's that other game I was talking about? Packers one. Hold on. Let me get this again here. Green Bay at Jacksonville is, where is that? Green Bay, that's a 1 o'clock start. So why is this? Oh, Fox single. I get it. Okay. I'm looking at the map here. So I read this map wrong. So I guess I didn't realize this. So if you get only one game, that's why. So not at the same time those games are being played. But that being said, that means still the Bills game is still going to most of the country. And it's a 4:05 p.m. start, not 4:25, which I think is kind of odd. But that's okay. 4:05 p.m. Ready to rock and roll. Tom Brady's first game announcing a Bills game. Not sure if you've listened to him or not. I think he's gotten better in the short games that I've listened to a little bit. He still is very general in his analysis. He doesn't kind of get too much into the weeds like some of the other announcers, but I do think he's getting better as it's gone on. Turn down your TV, turn up your radio. Chris Brown, Eric Wood, I'll be down on the sidelines. Bills at Seahawks. Now, this is an opponent that we're not super familiar with as far as playing them often, right? We know that. The Bills just don't play the Seahawks very much. It's pretty much every 4 years. That can change based on the new rotation of the 17th game. Like every other year or so, if you finish in the same spot as them, you would play them because of the one extra game that's included. But either way, it's still only a, you know, I guess 25% chance of that happening. So every 4 years, you play the Seattle Seahawks. And the last time the Bills played, I mean, it's been some wacky stuff, to be quite honest with you. The last time the Bills played the Seahawks was in 2020. and there were no fans because it was COVID. And the Bills just went out and pretty much like demolished the Seahawks that day. That was, let me go to the actual score here. Josh Allen threw for over 400 yards. That was a November game, which was nice. It was nice and shiny and bright. I remember that game. 44-34, Bills win that game. I think, did Seattle start to come back a little bit? So let's see. Bills had a 24-7 lead. Then it got to 27-20 going into the fourth quarter. And then the Bills pulled away again. Josh Allen in that game, that was his real breakout year. Threw for 415, three touchdowns. He was also Josh Allen was sacked seven times in that game, by the way. That's got to be, I don't know if he's been sacked seven times ever in his career other than that. That's crazy. It was a wild game. Russell Wilson was the quarterback for the Seahawks. He was sacked five times. He also threw two interceptions and threw for 390 and two TDs. It was a wild game, back and forth, you know, from an aerial standpoint. But the score-wise, Bills kind of took control. Seahawks climbed back a little bit, and then the Bills wound up winning the game. Okay. Then you got to go back to 2016. Now, this is why I brought this up. Who here, raise your hand, as you're driving, please keep your hand on the wheel in some capacity, as you're listening on your app or whatever, raise your hand if you remember the debacle at the end of the first half of the 2016 Buffalo Bills at Seattle Seahawks Monday night game on November 7, 2016. By the way, very interesting. Every time these two teams play, it seems like it's right around the same time. I mean, this year it's October 27th. 2016, it was November 7th. 2020, it was November 8th. It's always right around the same time. Raise your hand if you remember the debacle at the end of that game. I'll tell you what happened. It's still, because the reason I bring it up, it's been on my mind all week. because I was there. It was my third year on the sidelines as the Radio Network sideline reporter. It was Rex Ryan and the Bills, and they had a two-game losing streak, and they had, what was their record? They had lost two, they had won four, then they lost two. So they were 4-4, going to Seattle. They had a bye week the next week, and I remember Rex saying, he just was telling the team, empty the tank, empty the tank, empty the tank. And they did, and I think the Bills played a really good game that day. Way better than a lot of people anticipated against a good Seahawks team. Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback. Came down to the final drive, last play of the game. The Bills kind of got screwed on a late play, because I've been thinking about this because of last night too, where one of their receivers, Walt Powell, got drilled by Richard Sherman in the end zone. Nothing was called. There's a lot of controversy about that. But Tyrod Taylor threw for 289, a touchdown and an interception in this game. Had a nice day, not overwhelming. And the game was marred by a really controversial moment before halftime. I want to get into that and remember that for a second because it kind of plays into like last night watching what happened in the Thursday night game. But let me set up today for you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Of course, every Friday we have Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We are anticipating him at 11 a.m. today. Now, I always say this, you never know. He could call a little bit earlier. He could call a little bit later. So just be ready. Keep your head and ears and everything else on a swivel, as I always say. Sean McDermott at 11 a.m. today. But because we're getting Sean McDermott at 11 a.m. today, that gave me some room to get Paul Peck on at 10:30. Paul, as you know, is the voice of the UB Bulls, football and basketball. And UB has a game tomorrow, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about their season so far. But a big reason I'm getting Paul on is, it's pretty cool, actually. I don't know if people, how many of you remember there, it wasn't too long ago, there was a bowling game on TV called Beat the Champ. And it was really popular. And it went away. It's coming back. And we're going to talk about Beat the Champ coming back with Paul Peck and UB football. It's going to be really cool. So Paul joins me at 10:30. Sean McDermott at 11. And then Patrick Hammer on Seattle weather for game day at 11:30. And, of course, your weather here in Buffalo, which looks to be really good. While it does not look to be really good in Seattle. He texted me last night. Pat did. And he's like, hey, I'm good to go for tomorrow. It's not just the rain. Let me tell you what's going on. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go. Here we go. I mean, we've had some good weather, though, lately, so I can't complain too much. But when you go to Seattle, November, late October, you know that there's a chance that it's going to be rainy, cooler, and that's going to be the case. But Pat's going to give us the full rundown at 11:30. So end of the half, 2016. Raise your hand if you remember. You can call, by the way. We had open phone lines right now. Whatever's on your mind on the Bills and a Buffalo Football Friday, we'll just kind of open it up for you till 10:30. 803-0550. Got a question, comment, concern, something about Seattle? Remember this game in 2016? How about past Seahawks games? I told you, wild things have happened. Do you remember the game? This was the game where didn't they go into Seattle in 2000? It was right. Wade Phillips said basically they had no chance to make the playoffs when they actually did. And that really ruffled a lot of people wrong. And then they wound up losing the game. It was like, almost like they gave up, like, and said, oh, we can't win and we're not going to make the playoffs. And they were actually very alive for the playoffs. It was very weird. This is like late 90s, early 2000s, actually. I remember that one, too. That was Kingdom. So end of the first half, 2016. Dan Carpenter is the Bills kicker. Let me get to the play-by-play. I just went back. You can watch this on YouTube. It's going to be frustrating to you. It was frustrating to me, and it's been sticking out to me all week. And honestly, it's like I know that it's completely different teams, completely different coaching staffs, and 8 years later, eight freaking years later, and I'm like, they got robbed. The Bills got robbed in this game, and they need to go to Seattle and make up for it because it was so, so frustrating. With 11 seconds left, the Bills are at midfield in this game, and they're down, I think it was at the time, they were down, here we go, 11 points. Really nice pass, Tyrod Taylor to Robert Woods for 15 yards. Gets to the 35, and the Bills call timeout. There's 3 seconds left, and then complete madness ensued. Dan Carpenter comes on for a 53-yard field goal. Okay? What happened, though, was Richard Sherman jumped the snap on purpose. He said it after the game. He jumped it on purpose to not let the kick get off. While he does that, he leans into Carpenter's leg as Carpenter's kicking the ball. The play is blown dead as Sherman is running into the kicker. It's blown dead because he's completely offsides. He's unabated to the kicker. Carpenter gets hurt. He's offsides. Carpenter gets hurt. They call the offsides. Okay, we're going to move it up 5 yards. But here's what happened. Because he got hurt on the play where he was completely roughed and ran into and drilled illegally by Richard Sherman.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
The trainers had to come on the field. And because the trainers came on the field, they charged the Bills with a fourth timeout. Okay, that's fine, except for one thing. Because of that, and they had no timeouts left, he had to leave the field for one play, Dan Carpenter. He got drilled. It was unnecessary roughness. The trainers come out to check on him, but oh yeah, sorry, because even though Richard Sherman did that, he has to leave the field for one play. Even though the clock is stopped, it doesn't matter. So the Bills are like, what do we do? What do we do? They run Jonathan Williams, a running back, onto the field to take a snap and spike the ball. Okay, we'll just get him out for one play. We can do that. It's first down anyway. Smart play, actually, by the Bills. Smart play by Rex Ryan and his coaching staff. They spike the ball. Carpenter goes back out to kick the field goal. Now it's actually only going to be a, what, it was a 53-yarder, now it's a 48-yarder. Okay. The kick is good. All right, everything's all good. No, wait, it's not. Why? The Bills are called for delay of game. Go back and watch. On the delay of game, the referee, the line judge, umpire, I guess it is, would be, was standing over the ball holding it not to let the play start. And the rule actually states once he releases that, that's when the play clock's supposed to start. They never reset the play clock. So the Bills were charged for a penalty for delay of game after he made the field goal. And it shouldn't have been a delay of game. So they had to move it back 5 yards. Guess what happened? He missed. The Bills go to halftime down by 11. And it was super important because you get to the end of the game and at that point, the Bills are down. What's the score? 31-25. It's a 6-point game. The Bills score a touchdown, they win. They would have just needed a field goal to tie it, send it to overtime, but they had to go for a touchdown. And they get down to the Seattle 8-yard line. Tyrod gets sacked. Next play, incomplete to Robert Woods. Game over. Ah, frustrating. Anyway, I had to bring that up. Because last night, as you all watched, I'm sure, have heard about, talked about, whatever, the officials botched it last night. Now, they missed a call. It happens. I am generally one to say, officials are human, man. They're not going to be perfect every call. And I don't want to see plays reviewed all the time. I don't want to see penalties reviewed all the time. There's holding all the time. Are we really going to review every play for holding, pass interference? Just, you got to live with bad calls. It just happens in sports. But last night was just so egregious. The face mask in the end zone, there's two officials standing right there. And their explanation was they didn't get a good look. If you look, they're standing right there and looking at it. I can at least respect one part of this from the official's point of view, which was, hey, I didn't see if they actually grabbed the face mask from my view. But man, how do you miss that when you're so close and there are two people standing right there? It is it's a really good example of why, if you're on the side of having those types of things reviewed, why that should happen. Because inside 2 minutes, right? I mean, here's what happened. It was an 8-point game. And I don't know. I don't think the Vikings go down and score and get a 2-point conversion. They might. They had to go 97 yards in a minute and a half. They could do that. I mean, they have Justin Jefferson, right? He had like a 97-yard touchdown just a few weeks ago, heck. So it could happen. But I mean, it still would have taken a lot for that to happen. And that gave them a safety, the Rams. So they scored 2 points. It made it a 10-point game. Game over. So maybe in that situation, inside 2 minutes of a half, inside 2 minutes of the first half, 4 minutes of the second half, whatever, something. Maybe something that's clear and obvious that isn't subjective. Pass interference is subjective. Yeah, you could say it's clear that it was pass interference. It's still a subjective call. But grabbing a face mask, like you could see it. Maybe we can get to a point where that can be something reviewed. Because you got to feel for Vikings fans today going through that the same way I think you felt for the Bills and their fans and all of you out there listening in 2016 when Dan Carpenter came on the field and Richard Sherman destroyed him. And the referees botched that in many ways. And by the way, I went back and read a couple articles about that. Go look it up. Watch it from 2016 and go read the articles from postgame about it. Like New York, the officials, they admitted they screwed all that up. And it was Dean Blandino at the time. Dean Blandino was the guy on TV. And he's like, yeah, they completely screwed this up. I thought about that last night, watching this night game and thinking about the Bills in Seattle. Let's hope nothing like that happens to the Buffalo Bills this weekend. Let's hope they just kind of put the game away like they did back in 2004 when they went to Seattle on a heater. Remember the Bills in 2004? That's the year that, unfortunately, the Steelers' backups beat the Bills and kept them out of the playoffs. But if you remember that year, the Bills started 0-4. Then they beat the Dolphins, then they lose again. And they're 1-5. Then they win 2 games, 3-5, and then they lose their 3-6. Then they go on a heater. Rams, Seahawks, Dolphins, Browns, Bengals, Niners just kept destroying them. And they were destroying teams. They were scoring 37, 38, 42, 37, 33, 41. And then the Steelers beat them. But that game in Seattle was one that stands out. And they went out to Seattle and they just crushed the Seahawks in that game. Drew Bledsoe, Willis McGahee, 38-9 in that game. So I'm telling you, just Seattle just kind of you're reminded of some things that have happened over the years with these two teams, right? They also played in Toronto in 2008, and the Seahawks destroyed the Bills. I never went to one of the Toronto games. The Toronto series basically ended right before I came back to Buffalo, right around that time. I never went to, right after that, but I never went to one of the Toronto games. And thankfully, it would have been nice just to see what it was like and experience it, but I hated the concept and the whole deal that went down, as I'm sure many of you did. But that year, 2008, the Bills, let me just look at this. This was, oh, actually, it was not 2008. I apologize. It was 2012. I said 2008. It was 2012. It was the year after. That might have been one of the last games there, but where's the Seattle game? Oh, yeah, there it is. December 16th. 50-17 in Toronto. Yikes. That was Russell Wilson, Denoris Searcy, who kind of checked out on a play when he's running for a touchdown, it looked like. Remember that one? Bills and Seahawks. Bills need to create some memories this week against a Seahawks team that can play very, very, what's the term we use in high event hockey, right? We say high event a lot of times, Josh, in hockey. They play a high event game. The Seahawks play high event games in football.
That's always a fun time, though. I mean, usually,
it can be.
Like, it's from a perspective of, like, I don't care who wins. That's always a fun time.
Yeah, they can be like, big-time plays or against them big-time plays.
Right.
They play a high event game. The Bills can be like that. Not as much this year. They have been in the past. All right, let's open up the phone lines. Good stuff today to start the show, hopefully with you at 803-0550, Paul Peck at 10:30, Sean McDermott at 11, Pat Hammer at 11:30 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Clover in Texas. Always good to talk to you, Clover. How are you?
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm looking forward to the game. I think there's been a lot of opportunities for the offense. Looking at some of the games the Seahawks play, they give up a lot of yards. Yeah. Even the game last week they won, saw they gave up a lot of yards passing and on the ground, but then I heard you this morning say that Atlanta had like the three turnovers.
Yep.
So I know you had mentioned the trade they made this week for the Tennessee linebacker, and I was wondering how did he fare when he was playing the Bills last week? I mean, I know he had a lot of yards, but I was just wondering if you noticed him making an impact last week.
Well, obviously not as much as he would have liked or they would have liked, because the Bills won 34-10, right? That was good.
Right.
But let me take a look at his stats right here. So that would be Ernest Jones the fourth. He was on the field. Here we go. Ernest Jones the fourth. He made 5 tackles, had 1 quarterback hurry and a pass defense. So he was involved a little bit, but you know, this is a guy that fits into their system. They really like, I think the reason why they made the move, I think they wanted to move Tyrell Dodson out of the middle and put him at weak side, and that allows them to do that here.
Okay. Was that where Tyrell Dodson was playing with the Bills?
It was, in place of Matt Milano last year. Yes, he played both over his career. He actually played both. If you go back his career in Buffalo, he had filled in for Tremaine Edmonds in the middle. He had filled in for Matt Milano, and then last year mostly filled in for Milano when he went down.
Okay. Well, that's going to be interesting to see both guys, Dodson and the guy you just mentioned, are familiar with the Bills. So that'll be interesting to see how.
And Clover, you know who their assistant head coach is? It's Leslie Frazier.
Yeah. I just read that yesterday.
Yeah,
well,
so.
I know I had heard that in the past, but then I was reminded of it. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they do.
Thanks, Clover.
I'm excited. Thanks.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in Rochester. Hi, Chris. Hold on. There you go, Chris. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
You got
it. I appreciate you and everything you do, Buffalo. What does the play assist? Ooh, what does that do? How come that doesn't help on like that?
Well, because they can't assist on penalties. Just simple as that. Really, that's what it comes down to. They can't assist on any penalties. It's really more about catches, touchdowns, first down spots. That's really where that comes in.
But don't they assist on kind of penalties, like when punches are thrown, if a player should be kicked out of a game and I mean, that's...
No, I don't think they do. That's stuff that comes from the field, and that's stuff that gets they get fined and adjudicated after the game, essentially. But that would be... If I remember correctly, I don't think they do that, but that would be a different thing. That's not an in, like, the play scenario. And if it is, that comes from the official. So, no, I don't believe they do. And people, one other question someone asked me, Chris, which is a good question. Well, it's a scoring play. All scoring plays are reviewed, so why didn't they review it? Well, you can review everything about the scoring play if it was a score, but you're not reviewing the penalty part of it.
Right. Okay. Maybe that's something that they need to add in, you know, not a coach's challenge, per se, for the penalties, but the booth review or the booth help assistance on penalties like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. The league has generally, I mean, the one year they did, thanks, Chris, go to a, you know, review pass interference, but it just didn't work out. Nobody's really kind of wanted to revisit that again, I guess. But that's that. They don't review penalties from upstairs. They do review and take a look at guys, you know, hey, the neurologist says to get that guy in the tent for a head injury. That definitely happens. Let's go to Bill in Old Forge. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Sal, the only thing I remember from that Seattle game years ago was Stevie Johnson put a move on Richard Sherman that they were playing on the internet the next day. Like, I'm talking an ankle breaker move going over the middle. It was like a double basketball move. That's the only thing I remember from that game, but you can still to this day even find that on the internet.
I love it. Stevie did that to a lot of guys. Appreciate it, Bill. We'll take a timeout here. And, of course, as we always do on a Friday, we'll be back in a snap. It is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Paul Peck on the way next on UB Football and the return of Beat the Champ.